Okay, we want to pick back up here with the kingdom of God, looking at going into kingdom principles. But, you know, if you think about it, have you ever studied the ministry of Jesus? Made that your focus, just study the ministry of Jesus. If you do, you're going to find out that His ministry primarily was talking about the kingdom of God. He was either preaching, He was teaching, or demonstrating. So He put great emphasis on the kingdom of God. And then even after His resurrection, when He's 40 days on earth with His disciples, again, He's talking to them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So God must think this is important for His Son to spend His whole ministry revolved around the kingdom of God, and then after the resurrection talking about it. And isn't it amazing how little we actually hear about God ruling and His dominion being exercised in our hearts, in the churches, in our homes? But God wants to rule. Not because He's on an ego trip. Because He knows that if we'll follow Him, that'll be in our best interest and things will run so much smoother for us. All right, then He shows us principles of the kingdom. And I've just listed some of them here in the study. If you look on page 19 of your study guide. Now, these are coming out of His teachings, out of His parables, and things of this nature. But for instance, now, this is a principle of the kingdom. A tree is identified by its fruit. So if the kingdom of God is ruling in me, then I'm not going to be paying attention to what you're saying or what you're doing. I want to see who you are. You understand? The fruit identifies the tree. Okay? And then the fruit that we're looking for is actually Galatians 5:22-23, which is depicting the character of Jesus. So when you're around someone, you know that if that's the character of Jesus being portrayed, or if that's the character of flesh, or worse than that, the devil. You understand? And I can tell you right now that many church people that you're around, it's not the character of Jesus that's been displayed. And I'm not saying that to be their judge. I'm just saying that to make me extremely aware of I'd better guard my heart. You understand? You can't let your guard down. Because if you do, boys, that flesh is going to jump right in there just as quick as it can. And so, people identify us by our character. You ever heard the old adage, I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you are? And see, there's a ton of truth to that. And I could tell you some things that people have said to me because of watching other people. It had turned them off to God. Just because of the character of other people and the things they did. Another kingdom principle is we're justified by our word. By our words we're justified. By our words we're condemned. And this goes on a daily basis. It's sort of like the binding and the loosing. You're doing this all the time without even realizing what you're doing. If I'm talking defeat, I'm just condemning myself. I'm bringing it on me. Because what happens, you get to believe in that. You believe it, and then it will start working on you. But if I can say, for instance, there's been times in my life, even in the ministry, that thoughts would come at me, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you, He doesn't even care what you're doing, you're just wasting your time and making a fool of yourself. Now, if I sit there and entertain that, then what comes out of my mouth is going to work against me. And I hear it happen all the time. Or I can get in agreement with God and come out of that situation. You understand? And I mean, there's a lot that could be said about that, but your words, what? There's no words lost. And when we stand before the judge, we can't say, "I didn't say that." You with me? My confession of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior justifies me because of believing that in my heart. If I say I don't believe in Jesus Christ, that condemns me. It's not that Jesus is doing it. He's already done the work. But what I say about what He's done can justify me or condemn me. Does that make sense? So watch what comes out of your mouth and speak in agreement with the Word of God. And then another principle that He shows us is that man is not defiled externally, but man's defiled internally. You know, here again, He takes that out of with the situation there with the Pharisees washing the pots and all that. And they're upset because the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And He says, it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. And then He goes on and starts saying what comes out of the mouth, which ties into out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And so you listen to a person, and you can tell when a person's bitter. I mean, you hear the things coming out, the hatred and all these type of things. I'm not talking about just necessarily filth and stuff coming out of the mouth. I'm just talking about the poison that's on the inside of them through bitterness, through resentment, whatever. Somebody hurt them. Somebody did them wrong. They don't release it. It's coming out of them. And these are the things that are defiling them because they're harboring that in their heart. You have to release those things. Our hearts have to be purged, you understand? It's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to get the Word dominating your life and your thinking, and God's wanting that Word, the dominant thing in our life. Another principle is a kingdom divided cannot stand. I was thinking about this today. I pulled up, going to check my email, and something came up. The Senate shot down, you know, this thing to try to get rid of the government, partial government shutdown, all this stuff. And I thought, you know, isn't it sad? The nation's divided. The Senate does not care about this nation. Our Congress does not care about this nation. If they did, they'd do what's in the best interest of the nation. But it's always a private agenda, a personal agenda. What's in it for me? You understand? And that's people's attitude toward the church, toward God. It's what's in it for me. And then you get in the church and you get this power pocket, this little clique, and it brings division into the church, doesn't it? Matter of fact, we were just talking just a few minutes ago. Denomination. Break that down and get the etymology of it, and it says division. I mean, you can put your own words to it, but you're identifying yourself right here, so you're dividing or separating yourself over here. So what are you doing? You're bringing a division. A divided house can't stand. A divided nation can't stand. And this is why the homes are in such shape they are. And I could preach for a long time on that one, but you know, the husband and wife, you know, doing pretty good until something comes up, especially children come along, and then they get divided over the discipline, and the child will play one parent against another parent. Never in a million years should you be divided in front of that child in your thinking. You could discuss things, but when it comes to handling that child, you should do it in unity. You know, Mama and Daddy were unified when we were brought up. We'd get two whippings. And I'm not exaggerating. And it didn't traumatize me. It got me back on track, you understand. You don't play one against the other. And we have to learn that and then get rid of the politics in the church and all this other. Quit looking for flesh. Quit looking for self. And start looking for God. A kingdom divided can't stand. And somebody in this nation better wake up and try to get some unity in this nation. And that can only occur when we start following the principles of God. You understand? I'm not political. I'm not party. I'm for God. And if you're not for God, I don't care what your party is, you're wrong. You're Antichrist. And that's the problem. We've got too much of the Antichrist spirit in the nation because we have too much of it in the church. God's wanting His kingdom established. So here's what He says to do. Bind the strong man and spoil his goods. Back years ago, I saw something in this that just really brought light on why we're in the situation we're in. Satan knows this principle. The strong man in earth is the church. But if you bind the church, then you can take the goods. And the way this is done, he couldn't defeat it. In the book of Acts, he was trying to defeat the church from outside. Satan, I'm talking about. Killing the apostles and all that. Well, that didn't work. That just kept growing. The more they killed, the bigger it got. So what did he do? He infiltrated. I can't do it from an outside attack. But what I can do is infiltrate the church and bring division into the church with this little heresy and this little heresy and this little doctrine. Then I can bring division in the church. And when I bring division in the church lost its strength. And that's what's happened in the world today, is you have all these people divided and consequently it's lost its strength. That's like sending an army out to battle and you have, you know, four or five platoons, and they start fighting among themselves. Well, they're going to get whipped. And so we're going to have to learn to put our attention on the Lord, get our attention on the Spirit, get our attention on the kingdom of God. And if we're all subjected to the same kingdom, we're not going to be divided. And that's really a no-brainer, and I don't know why we haven't gone on to it yet. Then another principle. The yield of seeds dependent upon the soil. If things aren't being produced out of your life that you think they should be produced, quit talking to God and start plowing the garden. Get in there and we have to get our hearts right before God. God's Word is an incorruptible seed. But the soil sets the environment for that seed to produce. In that seed, inherent in that seed, is everything needed, but the soil has to have set the environment. And our hearts have to set the environment for God's Word to grow. So when you hear the Word of God, it's up to you whether that Word produces in your life by the environment that you set. You can reject it, but I don't believe that. Well, it works for everybody else, but it won't work for me. Well, you're right. It's not going to work for you. Because you have the wrong environment, so the seed can't produce. If you don't believe it will, it won't. But if you do believe it will, then you'll find that you get the results out of that. And another principle that we find is God's method of production is progressive growth. Everything's not instantaneous. The new birth is instant. But the things after that, progressive. God's kingdom is progressively growing in our lives. You understand? We just need to speed up the process. I'm not talking about God speeding it up. I'm talking about us cooperating with God. That's what will speed up the process. God's kingdom begins small, but it grows and becomes great. You know, I'm sure that you can look at your own personal lives. I certainly can mine. and just see how over the years God's kingdom has brought change in my life. And there was a time that you might have probably needed a magnifying glass to find that kingdom. It was so small. But by giving attention over the years and God working progressively and reading, subjecting yourself to the Scriptures and to the Holy Spirit, then you start seeing things and you start understanding things, and it brings change in your life. That's God's kingdom working progressively to where now you're developing greater interest in God and you're losing interest in those things that captivated your attention prior to that. That actually held you back and was working against you, and you thought it was fun. Or I did. But I'm learning. Thank God I'm learning. God's kingdom begins within the heart of an individual to the point like the leaven in the dough till it starts permeating the whole lump. And when you get God's kingdom working on the inside of you, it's going to be manifested on the outside of you. So if you want it manifested out here, get it working in here. How do I do that? With my thinking. Get up in the morning talking to the Lord. Don't talk about how bad the day is and how much work you have to do and this problem and that problem. Just start talking to the Lord. Thanking the Lord. Praising the Lord. Take control of your thoughts is what I'm saying. If you don't, your thoughts will take control of you. And it'll produce the wrong thing. And then another principle in the kingdom of God is the great ones in the kingdom are those who serve. Now, boy, have we got this out of whack. You know, the people today, you know, they think the great ones are the hierarchy. No, God says the servants are the great ones. You have to become like a child. You understand? We should never have our mind on position. We should have our mind on serving God and let the other stuff just take place. You understand? I promise you, I never ask God for anything as far as His permission or place to preach or whatever. The objective is to serve God, and the Lord just start doing things. And you know, do you really want to serve me? Then opportunity comes up. Then serve Him. Serve Him in the small stuff. You understand? You know, I'm talking about small stuff. I'm talking about just menial things. Just do what you can. And then God sees the faithfulness. And when God sees that you're trustworthy or that you're worthy of trust, then He'll trust you with more. But there is a proving. We prove ourselves. I can say, I want to do this, but you'll know if I really want to do it by how much I apply myself. Well, I'd like to teach. What do you study? I'd like to sing. Do you practice? It's amazing. There's a lot of wannabes out there, but they don't want to be diligent enough to put forth the effort to develop to where they can be used for God, be beneficial to the kingdom of God. Okay? There's another principle of the kingdom. It says, give, and it shall be given back to you proportionately. Now, you find this in Luke 6:38. But I believe that principle carries with more than just money. And we generally just think of it as money. But I believe that you give out with your gifts, your abilities, your time. You start investing in the people, and it comes back to you. I mean, I know that for a fact. But I also know it works with money as well. If you want to be stingy with God, then you put the knife to your throat, not God. You're not going to run God broke. You know, I've known of people that withheld their tithes because they were mad at the preacher. Well, how stupid can you be? Believe it or not, that preacher's not getting your tithes anyway. And if you're supposed to be giving your tithes to God, not to the preacher. You just bring it to the receptacle, the depository, and then they have an accountability of how that's distributed, you understand? Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now look at this. Shall men give into your bosom? He didn't say you're going to win the lottery. God doesn't gamble. I better move right along with that, right? Okay. Seed must die in order to reproduce. Unless a grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Jesus said that of himself. I could say it this way, then let me paraphrase this immensely. I'm going to plant myself in the ground, in the tomb, for the purpose of getting the harvest. One's going in, but it's going to produce many, and it's still producing. You understand? Are you willing to die to reproduce? I'm not talking about physical life. If that happens, it happens. I'm talking about self-life. Are you willing to lay down what you want to do or what you plan to do to meet the need of someone else? That'll let you know how selfish you are and how much you love God, because actually you're doing it for the Lord. If I can do something to help you, it's just for the Lord. Doing it for the Lord, and the Lord's doing it for you. He's just using the body to do it. But people don't want to get involved. I have a hard time understanding that, because it's hard for me to sit idly by and just let things go. You understand? Someone called me this morning and they were telling me about they had a flat tire. And they said they made it to a place and said, this guy just comes up in a truck, somebody, and said, need help? And this person had an appointment. And they said, yeah, I'll be glad to pay. I don't want any money. I'll just do it. Change the tire. Well, get your attention. Handfuls on purpose. God will just drop some things along the way. But understand this. He may want to use you to drop some things along the way too. Are we willing to give ourselves to the Lord? Are we willing to die so we could reproduce? Flesh has to die. Now that's in me, so it's going to come out of me, okay? Otherwise, the Spirit can't reproduce. Sowing will result in reaping. Now, a lot of people use this in various ways, but, you know, where Paul's writing in Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But then there's more to that. He's not talking about money. He says, he who sows to the flesh reaps of the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to get a harvest. But it'll be a fleshly harvest. He who sows to the Spirit is going to get a spiritual harvest. Okay? I mean, that covers everything. You either sow to the flesh or you sow to the Spirit. But what you're sowing to is what you're going to reap from. You can't sow to the flesh and reap from the Spirit. You with me? And a lot of people are trying to do that. If you want to get the things out of the Spirit, you're going to have to sow to the Spirit. You understand? Okay. And we don't want to overlook the principle found in Romans 1:16, which is the power of salvation is in the gospel of Jesus. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel is the power. The gospel is the power of the salvation. But it's to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay? And so it's a kingdom principle. That's why we put so much emphasis on preaching the gospel. It's a kingdom principle. That's where God's power is. That's where God's power is released. How can a person get born again if they never hear about Jesus? But in that message, inherent in that message, is the power to bring about a new birth, if the person will believe it. But you probably never thought of that as a kingdom principle, did you? Well, think about it. You know, God wants us to understand how His kingdom operates. So we have to get in here and dig in the Word of God and find out some things. There has to be an understanding. I learned this a long time ago. If I can understand how something works, especially, you know, looking at it from a mechanical perspective, if I can understand how it works, I can fix it. And it doesn't matter what label you put on it. You know, people say, well, I'm a Ford mechanic, I'm a Chevrolet mechanic. An engine is an engine. The principles, the basic fundamentals are the basic fundamentals. It's the same way with the kingdom of God. Learn how this works, and it'll work over time. You understand? If you learn the principle, it'll work over time. But what happens is people don't want to take the time to learn, and they may stumble up on something and actually get something one time, but then they don't know how to do it again. Learn the principles of the kingdom. Understand how God's kingdom operates. Use the potential resources. You know, I think about Philippians, I think it's 4:19, where Paul writing to them, and he says, because of they had given, sown into Paul's ministry, if you will. Paul said, but my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. It said a thing about earth, Fort Knox, Wall Street, according to His riches and glory. So God is not limited to a natural realm. And He's not counterfeiting money. Don't misunderstand me. But what He does is He moves on the hearts of people. And what Paul's saying is, you know, you've sown, you're going to reap. God will see to it that this principle comes to pass in your life. Now, I can remember from the time I was a small kid, Buddy Mama hammered it in me. If you pay your tithes, you have tithes to pay. I can still hear that. I got a dime and I had to give a penny to the Lord. I was a kid. I had to. And then a dollar, you give a dime. Well, what I found with a lot of people, they don't mind giving the dime on the dollar. They just don't want to give that 10 off a 100 or the 100 off of a 1,000. Now, we're looking at big figures here. Don't look at the figures. You understand? And what you want, be as liberal with God as you want God to be with you. If you just want 10, give 10. But I take you back to Luke 6:38. It's proportionate. Give a spoonful, you get a spoonful. Give a dump truck full, you get a dump truck full. So you're calling the shot, right? You'll never be able to fully submit to the kingdom of God until you understand basic fundamentals concerning the principles of the kingdom, how the kingdom works. It's so simple. If I am going to be born again, it starts with believing in my heart. Then I have to acknowledge what I believe. And I think people miss it when they talk about, you know, Romans 10, 13. They talk about confessing with the mouth. Or 10, 9, 10. It's acknowledging what you believe. A lot of people can confess and say stuff. But we're talking about to where you have a conscious awareness and you're vocalizing a belief. That's what it boils down to. It's a little bit stronger to me that way. I'd rather use the word acknowledge. I'm going to acknowledge what I believe in my heart. I'm not going to keep it a secret. Do you understand? Okay. Understand the principles. Understand the basic fundamentals. Understand how the kingdom of God works. Start reading the parables and looking for the principles of the kingdom in the parables. His kingdom principles aren't mystical. They're actually spiritual. They're not hidden from us. They're revealed for us. I've heard, you know, some say not healed from, hidden from us, but for us. But they're actually revealed to us. They're hidden. But if you'll go in and dig, you get the revelation of these things by subjecting yourself to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. Understanding kingdom principles will reduce failure and silence disgruntledness among those who've entered the kingdom. If the constituency of a church ever got the revelation of kingdom principles, the conversation in the church would be different. The conversation outside the church would be different. The conversation over the meal after church would be different. If you understood the principles of the kingdom of God. So this is where we have to learn it and then guard our heart. Don't let anybody pull you away. Well, that stuff won't work. Yeah, I knew somebody that tried that. Didn't work. Don't pay any attention to that stuff. As long as there's breath in your body, who's to say it can't work? As a matter of fact, that was the kingdom principle that worked with Lazarus when he didn't have no breath in his body. Jesus just believed he was coming out, and he did. Didn't he? And the whole way the kingdom of God operates in an individual's heart is by faith. I believe I'm saved. And because I believe I'm saved, I act like it. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And because I believe the Spirit of God lives in me, then I just let the Spirit of God speak through me. You see where I'm coming from? It's by faith. In any other thing you want to look at, I believe that giving is a principle, so I give.